I'm a servant leader because I really want to instill this concept, because I really believe that servant leadership and transformational leadership are so foundational in what we do. Because you can lead by your words and by like hovering over people, or you can lead as a servant. And I really want to live my life like Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is the best model of servant leadership. Like he served, he washed feet, he took care, he walked with people through things. And that's one of the things that we do. One of the new ones, the fun ones that I love that we've adapted is I am dangerous to the enemy. And that's an interesting one, because so much so I feel like in life we're praying for comfort and safety. And I believe, especially as I deepen my faith in Jesus, that we haven't been called for comfort and safety, but we've called to make a difference. And sometimes in order to make a difference, it's going to be a bit of a dangerous life. But we've been given the power to be dangerous, and not in a sense of like, oh, we're going to go harm people. And explaining that to my 4-year-old is so funny, because he's like, I'm dangerous to the enemy.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Today, we're with Red Wallace. He is a legacy mindset coach. He's a husband. He's a father of 2 children, and he's the founder of Better Than Best Academy. He's the creator of the Red Print, a faith-fueled framework helping Christian men rediscover their identity, lead with purpose, and build lives of eternal impact. He's also the host of a YouTube podcast, Where Faith Meets Leadership. Red, thanks for being here this morning.
Man, Tim, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Why don't we jump right in? Can you tell us one of your most impactful memories from your upbringing?
Oh, man. So many to think of. If we're going back to my childhood, I grew up playing sports. So I played a lot of baseball. So I feel like just being in that sports environment was some amazing times to develop discipline and leadership from an early age. And I can think of it was really a unique opportunity, because, you know, in sports, it can be both positive and negative environments, especially when it comes to having father figures. And I feel like I really had a unique perspective with my dad personally, because I knew I had some friends where their dad was super hard on them when it came to sports. And it was kind of like live or die by sports. And yeah, my dad is big into sports, but he just had this way of encouraging me in a way of, even if I failed and fell short, that there was still a lesson in it. And I thought that was really encouraging. And I can think of some times in particular that I just didn't hit the mark. like we lost the game, and it was really kind of on my shoulders, and where I'd seen other fathers just lay into their kids about these things. And I'm just like, whoa, it was kind of like a scary moment to see as a kid. My dad would just, he really led with love. And it was interesting to see that. And that's kind of marked me now today with being a father. And it's this idea of there's just so many different ways to do things. And when you realize it from an angle of, wow, you can lead and encourage someone and build someone up. And there's something to be said about positive leadership. And I think it's the same can be said about positive parenting too. Now, obviously, this isn't a jab on gentle parenting or any of those crazy wildness that we get into, because I definitely feel like there's a importance and discipline there. But yeah, I think that was a big impact for me now as I lead as a father, is I saw it both different ways, and I'm just really grateful for a dad that chose to lead with love instead of lead with this almost tyrant, over authoritarian, kind of dictatorship type of mentality. So it was really interesting to see both.
Did you ever witness any father fights in your baseball time growing up?
Yeah, there was definitely some father fights, and I'm like, ooh, that's wild to see.
Yeah, but your dad was not in the mix of that fight.
No, my dad probably. Yeah, he wasn't ever in the mix of that. Like he would get frustrated and heated, but not to a point of lashing out at another dad like some of these other dads that I saw.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, isn't it? As a father, as we have children playing sports or competing in anything, and fathers get very invested in those things. And I don't know if that's the equivalent of the trying to live your life again through your children, or if it's simply the joys of playing hard and winning and wanting your child to experience the winning part. I'm not sure which one that is. It seems like for your dad, he wanted you to do well, but it wasn't his idol.
Yeah, exactly.
That's neat. What position did you play?
I played second because my arm wasn't super strong and I was really short. but I was quick, I was fast, and I was fairly decent at being defense on ground, picking up ground balls and stuff like that. But yeah, I played a lot of second base and shortstop some.
Did you play all the way through high school?
Yeah. I started playing when I was four, and then I took a year off right before high school, and then I played through high school.
Okay. And did you go to college, or after high school, did you play at all?
I didn't play in college. It's kind of funny because it's like I did have a love-hate relationship with sports because my dad was a sports journalist. So he very much so was about sports and into sports. And I got to a space where I was like kind of burnt out by it because it's all I'd ever done. And then I wanted to do other things. And about sophomore year of high school, I started rapping, getting into music, getting really creative. And when it got to time for college, I was like, I could go play sport. I could go play baseball, maybe. I wasn't that good, probably like at a junior college level. And then I was like, or I could, you know, try to pursue this whole music thing. So I ended up going to college online for music production. And that's where things kind of shifted for me there.
Now, would you say that your relationship with your dad growing up was positive overall?
Yeah, it was for the most part positive. There was definitely some times that, you know, he would get frustrated like we all do. And just with life, I know we grew up a lower middle class, and when finances can be frustrating, and you can kind of experience that as a younger, as you're going through your teens, it can be a kind of a bit of a challenge there to navigate those waters. But yeah, overall, I'd say my relationship with my dad was pretty positive. Mm.
If you could name one thing about your dad that he loved, what would you name it?
Me. It sounds so weird, but even like today, it's so funny. He's so proud of me, and that's a really interesting place to be, and I'm really grateful for that. And it's funny now because I can even think of I play drums for my church, and there's been times he's come to church and I look down and he's like videoing me, and I'm like, Dad, you can't, like, you got to understand, like, read the room. Like, we're here to worship God and you're videoing me on like the second row. And it's funny because it's like, it's almost like that embarrassing moment. But also like when you look at it from a different lens, you're like, wow, he's so proud of me that he wants to capture this moment. And he never forgets to say that too often, almost. And I'm very grateful for it because it's something I feel like I, as a father now, really want to instill in my kids, is that I'm proud of them because I know what it can. And I've seen it the other way, where it's like you're almost always trying to earn the approval, and your dad being proud of you. To the point where it's crippling, and it really really messes with your identity to a degree, and I'm it's been very interesting.
That's neat. How did he show that to you growing up? You said he said it. He said he's proud of you. What else did he do besides videotaping you at everything?
Right. He also really instilled this idea of go for it and try the thing. You know, it's like, I mean, I was a rapper for 10 years and they were supportive of that. When I started playing drums, it was a little bit later in life, like in high school, end of high school. And I was living with them during the first part of my college time frame. And they're okay with me banging on drums sounding awful, but it was like seeing the potential. And even if it was probably a little overkill, because, you know, as a father now, sometimes you're always like, my child is the greatest, even when they're not that great. And it's finding that balance now of like, yes, saying go for this thing.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humor. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Try for it. And even if you fail, like, we're going to support you in that. And that was another great encouragement in this whole journey. Mm.
Do you have a specific memory you remember from your upbringing where that became very apparent? Mm.
That's a good question. Trying to think back to it. I remember when I also played some football in middle school and my freshman year of high school. And I remember when I didn't want to play football anymore. And it's funny because my mom was like all about me playing football. For whatever reason, she loves some football. And I was like, this isn't for me, Mom. I don't want to get tackled this hard. Like, this is rough. And I remember my dad like really seeing, you know, like that transition of really wanting to go after baseball more. And he, which again, part of it is a little bit of him living through me because he was more of a baseball guy than a football guy. But I definitely remember him being like, you know, it's going to be okay. You can try this other thing and we're going to support you in this. And I was like, okay, cool. And of course my mom came around, you know, and I was, like at first she wanted this for me thinking, oh, this would be a great thing for me. But then she kind of came around there.
Sweet. Well, one of the things you mentioned, you already mentioned it, and that was contributing to loving and encouraging others. And in your family, you said your dad did that really well with you. And that's something that you also want to pass on to your children. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that in your own family, what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I love to incorporate with my family is we kind of have this bedtime routine. So every night before bed, and it's kind of evolved a little bit over time because now that my kids are a little bit older and more aware, we've added a story time, but essentially we end our day with story time and then we end it with prayer. And it's cool because, I mean, we can get to that portion in a minute. But then we get into saying affirmations, saying positive declarations, because I feel like there is really power in declaring and speaking life over your kids and over yourself. And they're simple. Some of them are, you know, as simple as I am kind, you know, I am loving, I'm a servant leader. And it's really funny because we've done that, especially with my son, who's now 4. We've done it as early as when he was 2, when he was like not really comprehending it. But now he'll be, I always ask him, I was like, all right, do you want to lead the affirmations tonight or do you want me to? And usually he does. And he's like, I'm a servant leader. And he's just like, he's saying them, he's memorized them and they're in here already. And I'm just like, it's so beautiful to see that that's being instilled and that empowerment is being instilled in him. That's one way that we do it. And then those small ways, whether it's around the house, like giving them opportunities to do chores or do things around the house already at an early age, is empowering them to see that they aren't just someone that's being taken care of, but they can take care of others. And it's always a great reflection of that. And even my daughter, who's 2, almost 2.5 now, we were at the park recently and there was another little kid playing. And the little kid like hurt its finger, his finger or something. And he was like upset about it, but showing my daughter, like, I hurt my finger. And she was like, I'll pray for you. And I'm just like, that's so cool. Cause it's like, they're living out what it sees. And I think a lot of it too, is another way in that is you're modeling it in what you do. Cause it's like when you're allowing your kids to be a part of your life and a part of what you're doing, I feel like a lot of leadership and a lot of love and a lot of those principles are caught more than taught. And I could sit there and tell my children all day, hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, this is what you are. But then empowering them to do it and show them through action. Like with our church, we have a serve day once a year. And we go out and we serve and we help our community. And it's great with our kids getting older and older is they've been a part of it even when they were babies. And now they're old enough to be like, oh, cool, we can pick up trash in this environment. And they're seeing it and they're connecting it to, okay, I really am impacting my world. And it's those little small things there that I feel like have really been helping my children, even at an early age, start to instill these principles that are going to go with them through life.
Yeah, that's neat. Can you talk a little bit about what those affirmations are that you say? What do you say? When do you do it at bedtime, before bed? What are the, is there more than the three you mentioned?
Yeah. There's probably about seven or eight, and sometimes they grow. So right now my son in his like class at church, he goes to class when we go to church service, and they've been learning about the fruit of the Spirit. So he's kind of been learning about, you know, gentleness, joy, patience, peace, self-control. And we've been adapting that to say, I have joy. You know, I am patient. I am kind. I have gentleness. I have self-control. So we've added those in. But then there's also, I'm a servant leader, because I really want to instill this concept, because I really believe that servant leadership and transformational leadership are so foundational in what we do. Because you can lead by your words and by like hovering over people, or you can lead as a servant. And I really want to live my life like Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is the best model of servant leadership. Like he served, he washed feet. He took care. He walked with people through things. And that's one of the things that we do. One of the new ones, the fun ones that I love that we've adapted is, I am dangerous to the enemy. And that's an interesting one, because so much so I feel like in life we're praying for comfort and safety. And I believe, especially as I deepen my faith in Jesus, that we haven't been called for comfort and safety, but we've called to make a difference. And sometimes in order to make a difference, it's going to be a bit of a dangerous life, but we've been given the power to be dangerous and not in a sense of like, oh, we're going to go harm people. And explaining that to my 4-year-old is so funny, because he's like, I'm dangerous to the enemy. And I'm like, it's enemy, buddy. But it's just been a really fun thing to do with him. And I'm trying to think of some of the other ones we have. I'm a pastor to my, what's that?
With being dangerous, it's about taking risks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about taking big steps.
Exactly.
Towards something that could be dangerous, that might risk something of yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, that's to be a servant, right? Is to give up part of yourself for the good of someone else, to risk part of yourself for someone else's benefit.
Yeah.
That's special. Keep going. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're good. And I'm thinking some of the, I'm the pastor of my peers. And that one's really interesting, because you're like, oh, pastor of your peers. And again, explaining that to a 4-year-old and 2-year-old is funny. Explaining peers is your friends. So you're a pastor to your friends, meaning, you know, you walk with them through their hard times and the fun times. And not just like, because a lot of times when people hear the term pastor, they're thinking like, oh, he's going to be on stage preaching. Mm-hmm. Sure, that would be cool. But more so like sharing the love of Jesus. And the sharing the love of Jesus is walking with someone and being a friend to someone. I think a not as much of a Christianese version of that was, I am a great friend. That would be a great one to adopt, because it's like, when you're a great friend, you're going to stick by someone, whether they're going through something, and also you're going to call them higher. And that's a bit of a challenge of being a real friend. Cause you know, if you had spinach in your teeth, you hope you would have friends that are nice enough to say, hey, you got some spinach in your teeth, opposed to just let you walk around looking goofy. But yeah, that's some of those that I can think of offhand. I'm trying to think if there's any more that I missed, but yeah, I think that's most of them.
Those are really great. So you said your kids, how old are your kids now?
4 and 2.
Okay. So they're growing. They're just getting into the, it's going to start meaning something more significant as they get into this 5, 6, 7, obviously into teenage years. Did you grow up with something like that? Or is this something that you have sort of augmented into your family? You've brought into your own family?
I would say both and yes and no. Because there was some times I can remember early on that my dad himself would have some positive, think a good day, have a good day kind of things. I remember he would say that sometimes. And even thinking back earlier, he had a little sticky note on his mirror for something that he would, you know, speak over himself. But more so like I kind of saw it. But yeah, I had this opportunity, and I've been around such personal growth and leadership development in my own life. I saw the difference of, there was definitely some times when I was out on my own and I could have been down in the dumps. And I picked up some of these amazing resources we have out there. And I saw the shift in my life, that really our world starts in our mind. before we see it in reality. And being able to kind of shape that and model that for my kids has been amazing.
The third item you have on here is pray and follow Jesus. You also have teach and lead my family to believe the best. But I think this is what we're talking about now is thinking the best is the saying the things that are true and good and lovely and honest and encouraging your kids towards those higher ideals, which I think is really neat. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how you do praying and following Jesus in your own family. What does that look like?
Again, it goes back to this idea of letting your kids into your world. Mm-hmm. And at first, that's an extreme challenge. And I say it from the point of, I like to wake up and one of the first things I do in the morning is read my Bible, spend some time with God. And granted, it's important to get that alone time with God and with busy schedules and a son that likes to get up at 5:30 a.m. now, because I guess he sees his dad do that. So he's just modeling what he sees and letting him, you know, come sit with me. He's got his own little storybook Bible and I'm like, all right, I'm reading my Bible now. You can go grab yours. And it's cool as he's been older. And same with my daughter. She doesn't really understand, but she, you know, she wants to be like dad and mom and big brother. But again, it's that, you know, a lot of it's caught more than it's taught. And since I can remember, they've been coming along with us. We help at our church. And I think a lot of that is inviting them into the world. And then also not overcomplicating it. And then like we were mentioning in the earlier part of the conversation is, you've heard of situations when you're like, oh, pray with your worship with your kids. And next thing you know, you're hour and a half into worship and your kids are like, what are we doing singing all these songs? You know, they're not understanding. And I think that when we think about helping our kids follow Jesus, we overcomplicate it. And I think that, and what's helped me, and a bit of a tangent, but it connects, and being a drum teacher for young kids now has helped me in other areas of my life, because when you're like 15 steps ahead of someone, you want to get them to where you are, but then you have to go back and think, how can I explain this on the most basic, smallest level so that it makes sense? And a lot of times we want people to get to where we are. But then in order for them to get to where we are, we have to first start where they are and then walk them through it. And I think the same goes with Bible, like bringing them into following Jesus. And I love that there's a ton of resources out there, like the little storybook Bibles or the tiny ones that are literally just pictures. And it's so cool to read those with my kids, because then you're able to see some of these amazing biblical stories at such a lower level that they're even more easier to understand. And you're like, oh, wow. So that's what the Noah's Ark really meant kind of thing. And seeing them kind of get those light bulb moments is so cool. But yeah, I'd say the most practical way, I say all that to come back to center, is the most practical way to help my kids and my family in general follow God and have that deeper relationship with Jesus is by modeling it and also taking them along with me. It's like, okay, we're going to go, we're praying today. Let's pray. Or like before meals, or maybe there's a situation where we're praying for someone going through a hard time, letting them in on that, allowing them to pray with us. And I feel like doing that is over time already developing it. Like I mentioned, my daughter wanted to pray for her new friend at the park that hurt his finger. And it's so cool to see those things, because to me, that's encouraging, because I feel like then what I'm doing is working. And anytime you can see that, you're like, okay, great. They're not crazy little hellions trying to get into everything. They actually are retaining what I'm saying. Mm.
I imagine for a lot of men, the hardest part of that is when they see that they're not living in such a way that they would want their kids to live.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of men have a hard time bringing their kids into that, because they have yet to really look into the mirror and see that God is calling them to be something different than what they are right now. How do you, in your, you know, you're a coach, you're helping men to live the intended life that God has for them. How do you approach that with those men? Mm,
that's so good. So many ways I can share this. I'll share it by a personal story first. So a more personal story, and I feel like this story would be more applicable to other dads here. I can remember one of the first times I like absolutely exploded on my son, just yelled, lost my temper, short fuse, exploded kind of moment. And it was when he was probably like three and a half, maybe not that long ago, but long enough ago that I've shifted and started to make a better change. And there was other experiences before that, that I could get to, but I feel like this one's a little bit more fresh that would speak to that. I was in the living room. He's just playing with some blocks and he's sitting there playing. And he's getting rowdy like toddlers do. And I'm on my computer trying to make some content. I probably was editing a video or something. Not fully present, which that's already something to speak on in itself. But he just kept playing with blocks and then he started throwing them. And I'm like, all right, son, we got it. And I started calm. I started cool and collected. I was like, all right, son, we've got to not do this. You can't be throwing blocks. You're going to hurt somebody or yourself or me. And he's like, whatever, keeps going. And then next thing you know, he hurls a block and it hits the back of my laptop. And I came unglued, absolutely unglued. Like I saw red and then I saw his little face change. And like, I still see his little face now when I think of that moment. And I felt awful. I apologized quickly. I was like, this, the moment the words came out, I wish that they could come back in. I'm sure you and other dads that listening at home have probably had those moments. And then later, it really messed with me. Like this specific moment really messed with me. And I remember like laying awake that night saying, God, why did I do this? Like, why do I keep hurting? And I was reminded of another incident where I was probably a little bit more aggressive with my tone than I should have been with my wife. And then it's like, all of a sudden you're just laying there at night, remembering all the times that you were just losing your temper. And yeah, I'm just like, God, why do I keep hurting the people that I love the most? And that was just like the question that I was asking and sitting with. But then I felt like the Lord was reminding me that to learn how to be a great father, you have to learn how to be a great son. And in order to truly give love, you must first learn how to receive it. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of it that way. I mean, I grew up in personal development and, you know, you're always working on yourself. But sometimes when you get into this space of helping others, you kind of forget to help yourself. And it's like the other analogy, you know, when you're in a plane that's going down, you put on your oxygen mask first before you help the other people. And I think that that's, if we're not careful as fathers, as parents, as leaders, if we're not careful and make time to develop us, then we'll start trying to develop other people when we're walking around with wounds and not getting to the core of some of the things that we haven't healed from. And that's been a big mission of mine. And that's why I even got into the coaching that I do now is like, you can't pour from an empty cup. I mean, we hear all the silly cliches, but I feel like they're cliches because they're true. And like, if you are running on empty and you are not pouring back into your, and with me, it's my faith walk, you know, like if I'm not spending time with Jesus for me and my personal relationship with him and how he's growing me, then how am I ever going to help my kids do this or my wife do this or the teams I'm supposed to lead? And one of the most selfless things you can do is to be a little bit selfish in the point of you working on you. And obviously I'm not saying do it to a point where all you're doing is focusing on yourself, but I'm speaking more to those that have obviously they want to get better for their families and they want their families to be better. But they, like you said, had they looked in the mirror yet? And I want to encourage them because it's so easy to get into a state of beating yourself up about it. And I think as men, we want to suppress all of our emotions, tuck them deep down inside, don't ever talk about them and just keep trucking. But that's what I feel like is such a beautiful thing is when we find the right circle or the right mentors, the right people in our life, that we can be completely honest with that aren't going to just let us stay there, but are going to let us express and get this out, then we're going to see those shifts to start healing.
You know, I love that analogy, the airplane analogy. the way I love to, the way I like to think about that analogy is in the biblical sense that we put the mask on for the sake of the other person.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes we talk about that analogy as we put it on for us because you have to think about yourself first.
Yeah.
But I think the biblical way to think about that is, no, no, you put it on because you know that you can't possibly do anything for somebody else.
Yeah.
And the way to help them is to be connected to the oxygen, to the source of said oxygen. And that would be, you know, God himself, to be connected to God. Then I can help my family and I can help others and bring them along with me. I don't know of a father yet who hasn't been convicted by having children and then seeing his actions with his children or seeing what he knows his children ought to do and then realizing that he's himself not doing the thing that he knows would be best for his children. And I think that's, man, that is God's gift, certainly, for us to see that and to go, wow, I certainly need God to change me. So
that's good.
I think you're right on that, though, as far as it's caught, not taught. And I don't know if it's possible, really, at least in the close relationships of a family, to teach something that you're not living yourself.
Yep.
I don't know if it's maybe some technical thing, I suppose. You know, maybe you could teach a textbook. But the things that really matter in life, you can't teach unless unless God is sanctifying you, unless you're growing in those things. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your coaching program? What does that look like?
Yeah, definitely. So it's really a unique thing. It's been a fun ride for sure. Cause if you would have asked me a few years ago, you're going to be a life mindset coach, I probably would have laughed at you. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm definitely comfortable being Red the Rapper or being the drummer or being what I was. But it really came out of exactly what you said. It came out of modeling what I've lived. Because for me, when I rapped, I say it to tell the story to get there. I rapped for 10 years. And like when I first started rapping, it was 2008. I was sophomore in high school, I think. And I just fell in love with the art of hip hop, Eminem, Lil Wayne, all those guys that are just great at their craft. And I was like, I'm going to be the next that. And then at some point, you know, my faith started strengthening and I found some Christian rappers and I was like, I'm going to be the next that. And it was really a lot of wanting to encourage and motivate people, because that's always a big thing that's driven me, is like I've always loved the people that get you hyped for the longest time. Like I always like, yeah, this is awesome. Let's go run through the wall. You know, whether that's probably the sports background in me or even the rap background in me. And there came a point when it was fast forward, it's 2018, and I was working full time at a ministry doing all their video content, editing all their video content. We were on like a TV station and YouTube and whatnot. And in my quiet time with God, I feel like he was saying, do you trust me enough to lay down the very thing you've wrapped your whole identity in? And at that point, you know, I'm 10 years into rapping. I've made hundreds of songs. And the last one that I had made right before I feel like the Lord was leading me to this was the best performing one that I've done. Like I had made it with some friends. It's getting some streams. It's catching some traction. And I'm like, 10 years of work, we're going to get there. Like that's where my mind was at. And then I felt like the Lord was saying, no, not quite. What if you laid down the very thing that you found identity in? Do you trust me enough for this? It was almost like the Lord had every other area of my life except for this. And I was like, you know, God, I'm angry and frustrated that you're telling me to do this because I love this so much. But I said, okay. So then I'd say from 2018 to about the end of 2020 was a refining hidden season for me. Because I laid down rap and of course I'm still serving at my church and whatnot. But just getting deeper roots with him and understanding who I was behind everything that I did. And then of course, yeah, 2018, we fast forward to 2020. We all know what happened in 2020. We no longer get to do any of the doing. And now we're just being. And I really feel like, you know, God can turn bad things into good. And I feel like he used that season up until that. And that was really like the peak moment for me for that is I wasn't getting to serve every Sunday on the stage playing drums. I was no longer rapping, working, but the working was from home. And then we had our kid coming on the way. I was just here with my new wife that I got married in 2019 with, and we're navigating all of this. And all of my life up until then was performing, earning, getting my love and acceptance from what I could do. And it was like I was redone the rapper. I was Red the drummer. You know, I was always defined by what I did. And then for the first time in my life, it got to this point of I was defined by who I was and whose I was. And I was like, whoa, there's so much more to this life than what we're doing. And it's like the quote that really stuck with me in that season was, we're human beings, not human doings. And it was a lot of this unbecoming and a lot of this. And I love to use the story of Michelangelo and the sculpture of David. And it's this idea of Michelangelo, famous painter, sculptor. He created the masterpiece that is the David sculpture out of this huge hunk of rock. And someone had asked him, or at least the story says that someone asked him at some point, that how did you take this big formless piece of rock and create this masterpiece as David? And Michelangelo said it was simple. I just chiseled away the parts that weren't David. And I feel like over time in our life, we're wearing all of these stories, all of these lies, whether they were good or bad intended on our lives. We begin to create a whole identity that's not who God has created us to be. And we start living that out. And if we're not careful, we'll look at it. We'll be on our deathbeds and we'll be living with all of this regret because we didn't go after this or we didn't live to who we were called to be. We lived to everyone called us to be. What if we could stop there? Like, what if today you could chisel away all those pieces that weren't you and start seeing yourself the way that God sees you, but not just seeing yourself that way, being empowered to live that way. And that's out of what I've learned here is what I try to teach and coach my clients on. And I love to say that I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm going to try to show you how to think. And it's a lot of that.
That's neat. That sounds like a very helpful way for men to move forward in their lives. You want to give us a wrap on that? You want to wrap that out?
No rapping anymore. Sorry, everyone. I have retired. Unless the Lord gives me the go ahead to come out of retirement, which I've came very close a few times. I definitely joke about it with some of my friends here locally. They're like, hey, you remember that? Remember that rap era? Man, what a time! What a time to be alive! I was like, yeah, it was something.
A good memory to stay a memory for the time being.
For sure.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for all your time, Red. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you again for having me.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.